Does the Sabbath Matter? An article by Richard F. Ames. Different religions set aside varying days as holidays and times of worship. While most of the world's 2.1 billion professing Christians worship on Sunday, 1.3 billion Muslims keep Friday as their weekly day of worship, and millions of Jews observe the Sabbath, their day of rest and worship, from sunset on Friday through sunset on Saturday. Does it matter which days we observe? And does God care when we worship Him, as long as we do worship Him? Most professing Christians just accept whatever their parents or church taught them as tradition. Until I was a young adult, that is what I did, too. When I was a boy, I asked my mother, "Why do we keep Sunday when the fourth commandment in the Bible teaches us to keep the Sabbath, the seventh day?" She gave me some vague answer, which I accepted at the time. But can you answer that question? Which day is the Christian Sabbath? Where do today's professing Christians get the idea that Sunday is the Christian day of worship? You may be shocked to learn that some religious sects teach that their church's tradition carries more authority than the Bible. Notice the statement from Anglican theologian Isaac William. Quote, "Where are we told in Scripture that we are to keep the first day at all? We are commanded to keep the seventh, but we are nowhere commanded to keep the first day. The reason why we keep the first day of the week holy instead of the seventh is for the same reason that we observe many other things, not because the Bible, but because the church has enjoined it." End of quote from Plain Sermons on the Catechism, Volume 1, pages 334 and 336. Is William right? Does the Bible, the Word of God, carry less weight than church tradition? What example did Jesus Christ set himself? Notice what the Bible says about Jesus' own practice at the start of his ministry. Quote, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." This is found in Luke chapter 4, verses 16. Yes, it was Jesus' regular custom to worship on the Sabbath. What day of the week was that? Since the time of Jesus and centuries before, the Jewish community has very carefully documented its observance of the seventh-day Sabbath, from sunset Friday through sunset Saturday. We know from thousands of carefully kept records that the seven-day cycle of the week has not been broken. Those who worship on the seventh day today are worshiping on the same day Jesus did. Ask yourself, did Jesus set his example of keeping the Sabbath and all the biblical precepts so that we would not need to? Shockingly, this is what many preachers teach today. But did Jesus even once tell his followers to ignore his example? No. Not only did Jesus keep the commandments, he instructed others to keep them as well. He said, quote, "If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments," quoted from Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17. Jesus' answer clearly showed he was speaking of the Ten Commandments. Paul's example. We have seen that it was Jesus' practice to observe the Sabbath. Did the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, observe the Sabbath, or did he set an example showing that Gentile Christians need not do so? Remember, Paul was trained as a Pharisee and knew Scriptures very well. When Paul was in Greece in the city of Thessalonica, he preached for three consecutive Sabbaths to the Jews in the synagogue. Notice that this was Paul's custom. He regularly preached on the Sabbath. Quote, "Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.'" This is quoted from Acts chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. So we see that Paul regularly preached to the Jews on the Sabbath. But did he also speak to the Gentiles on the Sabbath? Notice what he did in the Gentile city of Corinth in Greece. Quote, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks." This is found in Acts chapter 18 and verse 4. Yes, Paul preached to the Gentiles on the Sabbath. If Paul expected Christians to keep a Sunday observance instead of the seventh-day Sabbath, we might expect him to speak to Christians, at the very least to the Gentiles, on Sunday. Is that what your Bible shows he did? Notice Paul's example in Antioch, in what is today the nation of Turkey. What happened after Paul's usual Sabbath sermon to both Jews and Gentiles in the synagogue? Quote, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath," quoted from Acts chapter 13 and verse 42. If Jesus or the apostles had changed the commanded day of worship to Sunday, here was a perfect opportunity for Paul to tell the Gentiles, "No, you don't have to wait until next Saturday. We Christians now worship on Sunday. Meet with us tomorrow." But he did not do that. What does your Bible say? Quote, "On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God." This is from Acts chapter 13, verse 44. Paul taught the Gentile Christians on the Sabbath. He also commanded the Gentile Corinthians to follow his example. Remember Paul's instruction, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." This is quoted from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Or, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ," New International Version. Yes, Jesus, Paul, and the apostles set an example for all Christians in observing the Sabbath. Why the change? Since the example of Christ and the apostles is clear, we may wonder, when did mainstream churches begin to observe Sunday instead of the seventh-day Sabbath as a day of rest? Notice, quote, "Tertullian, 202 A.D., is the first writer who expressly mentions the Sunday rest. We, however, just as tradition has taught us, on the day of the Lord's resurrection ought to guard not only against kneeling, but every posture and office of solicitude, deferring even our businesses, lest we give any place to the devil." This is from the article Sunday, the Catholic Encyclopedia. That was not until 202 A.D., more than 170 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Later in the 4th century A.D., the Roman Emperor Constantine enforced Sunday worship throughout his empire. Constantine had been a pagan sun worshiper. He gave the following edict in 321 A.D., quote, "On the venerable day of the sun, let all magistrates and people rest." This is also from the article Sunday Legislation, Schaff-Herzog Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge. Disobedience to the emperor's command could mean death to Sabbath-keeping Christians. Just a few years later, the Roman Church also passed a startling decree at the Council of Laodicea. It declared, quote, "Christians must not Judaize by resting on the Sabbath, but must work on that day, resting rather on Sunday. But if any be found to be Judaizing, that is, keeping God's Sabbath, let them be declared anathema from Christ." End of quote. This is from A History of the Councils of the Church, page 316. Christian Sabbath keepers were labeled as heretics. Both the government and the churches moved against Christian Sabbath keepers. Yet, the true Christianity of the first century, which never stopped, followed Christ's example of keeping the fourth commandment, has continued to this day, in spite of persecutions over the centuries. Millions in the United States today forget that many of the first American settlers crossed the Atlantic Ocean in the 17th century in search of religious freedom in the colonies of North America. Thousands came to Rhode Island to take advantage of its royal charter granted in 1663 by King Charles II of England, which guaranteed religious freedom in the colony. To this day, that charter remains on display in the Providence, Rhode Island State House. Seventh-day Sabbath keepers were among those who came to Rhode Island seeking religious freedom. Stephen Mumford and his wife, who came to Newport, Rhode Island in 1665, were the first Christian Sabbath keepers documented to have settled in Rhode Island. Others followed, and by 1729, their group had expanded so much it needed a larger meeting hall. That hall, built in 1729, is still being preserved by the Newport Historical Society. If you are ever in Newport, Rhode Island, you may want to visit that historic building. Inside the hall is a raised pulpit, and behind the pulpit are two large plaques inscribed with the Ten Commandments. At the bottom of the second plaque is the Apostle Paul's bold statement, "Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law." This is quoted from Romans 3, verse 31, King James Version. Yes, these New Testament Christians affirmed their allegiance to Christ's statement. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. These Christians correctly understood that Jesus' teachings insist on his followers observing and obeying the Ten Commandments. Sabbatarian church records preserved in the Newport Historical Museum contain members' names and contributions. Significantly, the church describes itself in those records as keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, and in particular, the Lord's Seventh-day Sabbath. Some Seventh-day Sabbath keepers were prominent citizens of Rhode Island in the 18th century. Two of the colony's governors, Richard Ward and his son Samuel, were Seventh-day Sabbath keepers. Even the first president of Brown University, James Manning, was a Sabbatarian. The Sabbath before Moses? A common misunderstanding today is that Sabbath observance was first instituted as a Jewish custom at Mount Sinai, when Moses received the tablets containing the Ten Commandments. Is this so? No. Notice how your Bible describes what is called Creation Week. We read that God created man and woman on the sixth day. What then happened on the seventh day? Thus, the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Find this in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Yes, the seventh-day Sabbath is a memorial of the creation, and it points to the true God and true creator of the universe. It had meaning from the very creation, and it still has deep meaning for Christians today who look at the seventh-day Sabbath as a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ's thousand-year reign on the earth during the soon-coming millennium. What did Jesus claim about his relationship to the Sabbath? Did he say he was Lord over Sunday, that Sunday was the Lord's day? No. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Quoted from Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. If Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, what day is the Lord's day? Sunday? No. The Sabbath is the Lord's day. Jesus himself said so. In fact, the expression Lord's Day appears only once in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. There, it refers to the prophetic period known as the Day of the Lord, which leads up to the second coming of Christ. It does not refer to a day of the week. The book of Hebrews depicts the Sabbaths as a foreshadowing of the earth's millennial rest, as well as a memorial of God's rest at creation. Regarding the ancient Israelites' disobedience on their way to the Promised Land, we read, quote, "For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God." This is quoted from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. The original Greek word for rest in verse 9 is sabbatismos, which means a Sabbath keeping. You can see this in Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words. Both the Revised Standard Version and the New International Version translate verse 9 as a Sabbath rest. Yes, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, even to this day. But is it merely a symbolic rest, or is it a literal Sabbath rest? If you have access to a copy of the Anchor Bible Dictionary, you can see for yourself that in other contexts, including secular Greek writings, not dependent on this verse from Hebrews, that the word sabbatismos plainly and literally means Sabbath observance or Sabbath celebration. There is no question that this verse is a New Testament statement about a literal Christian observance of the Sabbath. If Christians are to cease from their works, just as God ceased from His, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, we must ask, how did God cease from His works? Scripture gives us the answer. Quote, "For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works," quoted from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 4. There is no guessing here. New Testament Christians are supposed to rest just as God rested on the seventh day. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament give Christians the clear example and instruction to keep the Sabbath day holy. If you consider the Bible your authority rather than some church tradition that claims to overrule the Bible, you have no other choice. So, what is your authority? Scripture or tradition? What brought about a Sunday observance in place of the seventh-day Sabbath? Noted Roman Catholic theologian James Cardinal Gibbons wrote in his book Faith of Our Fathers, quote, "But you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The Scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify." End of quote. And Gibbons admits that if the Bible is your authority, you have no basis for observing Sunday. Scripture, as he writes, enforces, quote, the religious observance of Saturday. Gibbons acknowledges that it was the Council of Laodicea in the 4th century A.D., not the pages of your Bible, that caused the professing Christian world to change from the seventh-day Sabbath to a Sunday observance. Similarly, prominent Southern Baptist minister Harold Linsell, a former editor of Christianity Today magazine, wrote, quote, "There is nothing in Scripture that requires us to keep Sunday rather than Saturday as a holy day." What should you do? You need to study your Bible and decide whether you will live by every word of God, as Jesus admonished us in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 and Luke chapter 4 verse 4. Jesus said, "He is Lord of the Sabbath." He observed the seventh-day Sabbath regularly, and he did not break the law. As he said, quote, "I have kept my Father's commandments," found in John chapter 15 and verse 10. Will you follow the example of Jesus Christ and the instructions of your Bible, or will you oppose them in order to follow the tradition of men? If you still have any doubt about which day is the Christian Sabbath, notice what your Bible teaches about the coming kingdom of God, where Jesus Christ will rule all nations on earth. Quote, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon, that is month, to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." This is quoted from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22 and 23. In God's kingdom, everyone will keep the seventh-day Sabbath. What a wonderful world that will be. True Christians, in their worship, are foreshadowing that time today. End of article. Inset box, page 22. May we suggest, which day is the Christian Sabbath? Will you follow the example of Christ or of men who reject His teaching? Request a free printed booklet from the regional office nearest you or order at tomorrowsworld.org. PDF and EPUB and Kindle are also available. Inset box, page 13. Request your free booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath?